Good day. I'm going to be reading the March 20th, 2025 edition of the Iroquois County Times-Republic. There are four articles on the front page, and the lead article is titled Iroquois County Under Burn Ban Until Further Notice. Spring weather has caused Iroquois County fire officials to issue a burn ban for the county for the second time in a week. As of press time, March 19th, the countywide burn ban is in effect until further notice. Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Scott Anderson issued the burn ban information the morning of March 19th. Eastern Illinois Mutual Aid Fire Association, Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducat, and Anderson's agency collaborated to make the decision. The 21 fire departments in the county are part of the fire association. By state law, fire chiefs have the authority to issue a burn ban and also have the authority to impose fines on those who violate the ban. In the release, Anderson said, "This burn ban was instituted by the fire chiefs of Iroquois County. The fire chiefs have the authority to issue a burn ban pursuant with the Illinois state law, directing everyone to refrain from any open burning, including landscape waste, agricultural waste, household trash, and garbage. Also included in this ban are any type of consumer fireworks. The fire departments can, by law, impose fines for violation of this burn ban and will, after warning and extinguishing these fires, impose a fine of $100. Fines will double for the second violation. The fire agencies issued a burn ban March 13th, and that also included the entire county. That burn ban was lifted March 16th. Conditions in Iroquois County continued to be windy and dry. Information provided when the March 13th burn ban was in place still apply." Ducat said at that time, "Due to the expected extremely high wind event throughout Iroquois County, we are advising all citizens to refrain from any type of burning, including the use of consumer-grade fireworks, until further notice. At the present time, conditions are expected to be very favorable for the outbreak of wildfires and other uncontrolled events. The dead and dry areas common after the winter are exposed and vulnerable. The fire chiefs in the county, with the authority granted by Illinois statute, have recommended and approved this burn ban to prohibit any type of burning or the use of consumer-grade fireworks. This burn ban will remain in effect until the predicted high wind event has subsided or significant rainfall over the area takes place. An official notice when the burn ban is lifted will be issued. Please direct any questions to the fire chief of your local fire department or fire protection district. On behalf of the county board, the sheriff, and all elected officials, I urge everyone to cooperate with the fire chiefs in this matter," Mr. Ducat said. Anderson went on to say, "Nobody wants to impose a burn ban, especially during this time of year when winter cleanup efforts are taking place. Much more importantly, fire departments do not want to have to extinguish your house or your neighbor's house if it catches on fire. Thank you all for your help making this a safe time for everyone." The next article is from the Board of Education of Crescent Iroquois CUSD 249, which recently had a meeting on March 17th. Discussion from the superintendent's report noted there is enough fuel to last the remainder of the current school year, as Schroeder had purchased some additional. For financials, members were reminded to complete their statement of economic interest forms. The consolidated school district plan approval is the first step in order to write grants for the next fiscal year. In addition to other business, a memorandum of understanding with Rachel Puschel for the 2025-26 school year was approved, as well as the adoption of a resolution authorizing the sale of the high school property to the Crescent Iroquois Fire Protection District. The consolidated district plan for fiscal year 26 was approved. Then the board approved a resolution reference for the dismissal of an employee from a professional licensed position. The next meeting will be Monday, April 28th. Health and community are two of the cornerstones of Sugar Creek Trading Company in Watsika. Christopher Kennedy and Angelina Pacheco have been providing a number of items for sale through their family-owned market, cafe, and pharmacy. Christopher is a born and bred Watsika native. He said, "I have traveled a little bit, but I've lived in Watsika my whole life. I'm the eighth generation of my family that's lived in Watsika. I have an interest in ingredients and how those make us feel based on what we eat and what we consume. I originally started developing an interest in neuroscience and pharmaceuticals and pharmacology and toxicology and what makes people feel good. Just medicine and psychology are going in different areas of research. I ended up finding that herbalism and the nature way humans have consumed things for thousands of years, just trying to align with nature, has been what's most fruitful and the best investment of my time and energy." After he met Angelina online, she flew to Watsika from Arizona. They traveled for about 4 months, starting in Champaign and going to Montana. We camped the entire way and sightseed. They went through California, Oregon, Arizona, and back to Illinois. Then they did the whole trip again. Through their travels, they met people and gathered experiences. Even now, Christopher says, "Angelina has introduced me to so many people in this town I've never met before. I lived outside of town in the country. I didn't really have any reason to come into town to get food or gas. Then we started doing the farmer's market and doing these other events, and she really opened my eyes to how many people have an interest in things I thought no one had an interest in. With her professional chef training and her culinary experience and all of her sales and marketing experience, she has really turned this into a business and a vision that's something real. It's been a lot of work." Angelina said when they came back from traveling, it was winter. They had thought about finding a home in Colorado to settle down and start their lives together. She went on, "Because of how we met and how we had been traveling, I thought it was probably best that we go back to a place a little bit more familiar rather than starting completely new in a new area. The house we live in now is his house and his parents' house. We decided to come back to Watsika and have a game plan for what we wanted to do. Before I came along, he had always had the plan of wanting to share a more holistic plant-based lifestyle for folks. When we came back here, I wanted to go to farmers markets." She said they learned that Alderwoman Yame Rolfs had restarted the farmers market in Watsika. They contacted her and got the application form. Angelina said they looked at it and it asked things like what the business name is and what the products will be. She said, "Well, what's our business name? What are we going to have? We hadn't thought about it." Christopher said they'd already established that the menu would change based on the season and locally available products. "The menu always changes, and it will continue to change because we're trying to focus on what is seasonal and local as much as possible. Our goal is that with her food and her culinary expertise, that's what's going to have people coming in the door on a regular basis. The teas and the herbs are things that people are not necessarily going to buy every single day, but it adds on to the wellness aspect of our business. Her food is wholesome. It's very minimal ingredients. She puts a lot of love and care and time into it." Angelina said in the beginning they had the packaged teas the first year, some canned items and pickled goods. The handmade sewn items were added in. Whatever inspired us. I was also pregnant with our daughter at the time. It was a lot of discovery process for us. As we went along, we started to fine-tune everything. From my background in the food industry, I was wanting to help him bring a lot of plants to the forefront and make it a little more palatable for some folks. One thing they started with was offering teas. People like teas, and we can make them a little bit more tasty by adding in fruits. That's how we started blending the teas. Eventually, the following year, we decided, how about we actually start selling them? kind of kept morphing into what we have now. It's organic, based off the feedback we're getting and trends we're seeing in the industry as well. Everything you see in the store, like how we sell the teas, the baked goods, and the things that are going to be coming, is based off of how things organically came about. We are going into the third year, and it seems like nothing to some people, and I totally get that. The 3 years seems like a lifetime for us because we've also got this life of our daughter Ruby blooming before our eyes. We've been able to make connections with people at all these events. They've met a lot of people at the farmers market and now see familiar faces as well as new ones as the market grows each year. Making connections through the Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce events also was important. Angelina said they are trying to be a real part of the community. We want to give as much to Watsika as we can. They did recently conduct a homemade ice cream event, and proceeds from one flavor of ice cream was donated to the Chamber's drive-through Christmas light display project. Christopher said Phil Wilkie and the Ag Shop students built the countertop in the Sugar Creek Trading Company store. All he asked is for us to donate something to the FFA auction. That's the kind of thing we've wanted to base our business on, is sharing and giving and doing as much as we can to serve other people. We're not doing it because of this, but we know that it's always come back. I love Angelina's food, and the first time I saw someone try her food for the first time, their eyes lit up. Every time someone comes in here, they try some of her food and say, "Oh gosh, I've tried some of it myself. I know the exact measures, I know the time we put into it, and she loves doing it." There was a white chicken chili event conducted a few months ago. They had some chili left over that they posted online asking if anyone wanted it. People messaged us pretty quickly, and at the end of the day, regardless of how many people come in the store and spend money with us, we want to do as much as we can to see the community thrive. Because if our neighbors are doing well, and if our friends and family are doing well, then we are also. Angelina went to school for culinary arts and food science. After school, she paid back her student loans by selling wedding cakes. It was a ton of work. I'm just an independent person renting out kitchens in Scottsdale to do these cakes and to pay back my student loans. I'd never had a loan before, and loans in my family weren't a thing. I kind of had to figure a lot of that out on my own. As soon as I paid them off, I realized I'd taken away the joy I had originally got from food because I was working for money. So I decided to take a step back and went into sale and marketing. She worked for a large food company that makes hot sauces and spices. It sounds big, but our sales staff was 5 people, including me. I had to also do all the training for the company. We opened just over 200 retail stores across the U.S. and 6 in Canada, most of which I was present on-site building out the stores, hiring and training staff with another individual, and going state to state. But she was rarely home. I built all these wonderful relationships and friendships all across U.S. and Canada. It's really influenced how I see the world and how I go about my contribution to our business and bringing these different influences through food, retelling stories. As of right now, Sugar Creek Trading Company is not formally open. It will be a market cafe and pharmacy with a micro bakery. We plan on utilizing as well as selling local meats, locally grown produce, and having farm fresh baked goods and breads. We'll have sandwiches, salads, wraps, and other foods, including indigenous cuisine. Angelina is Native American on her mother's side. It's very important for me to celebrate my culture and heritage, but I want it to be important for our daughter to see it. It's not very prominently displayed, and I want her to grow up in an environment where she sees all cultures celebrated in their own way where possible. Watsika's history ties in beautifully. That's why in the past we've had salsas, ice cream flavor, a salad that was named and inspired ingredient-wise by Native American culture. The pharmacy of the business is Christopher's side. There's going to be a wall of plants, a wall of tea, a wall of herbs, tinctures, capsules. I've studied a lot of indigenous cultures, and I back that by clinical research that's been done trying to find things that people have used for thousands of years. When we use those things compared to others, they're so brand new, we see good results. I'm not trying to claim anything or say I'm an expert. I've done a lot of research and I care. You can find Sugar Creek Trading Company on social media. And their shop is located at 127 East Walnut Street. And now news from the County Board. Information about a meals program was distributed at the Iroquois County Board meeting March 11th. That was one part of the Iroquois Economic Development Association report from Angel Crawford, Executive Director. She spoke to the board members about Sun Meals to Go. She said she wanted to make the information available to those who might want to look into it more. The program can be run by schools or eligible community organizations, which include nonprofit organizations and local government entities. Schools are well equipped to implement the program because of their food service staff, food storage and preparation capabilities, and familiarity with running a food program that operates through federal reimbursement. However, many community organizations also serve as summer meal program sponsors. If they don't have the food preparation capabilities internally, they will contract with a local caterer or one of the companies that offers shelf-stable meals for purchase that fit the required meal patterns. She said there is a reimbursement rate per meal served and a required meal pattern that must be met to receive reimbursement. Eligible school district received an email a few weeks back listing each of the schools eligible to serve Sun Meals to Go. The first word is S-U-N, Sun Meals to Go. All the schools highlighted in green and gold met the criteria for open Sun Meals to Go locations, meaning they can serve all children 0 to 18. The program can also be run by a community-based organization. Most schools in Iroquois County meeting the criteria, she said, with Clifton and Cisna Park not eligible because the area income exceeds the program requirements. A few companies shall sell shelf-stable meals that meet the meal pattern requirements and will ship pallets to you for distribution if you can't find a local school food service, caterer, or restaurant interested in prepping the meals. Crawford said she learned about the program at the 36th Annual Rural Community and Economic Development Conference in Springfield recently. At that time, Molly Hammond from the USDA spoke about the program. Trina Regain of the Illinois State Board of Education oversees the program. She looked back on the history, and there have been no Sun Meals to Go sites in Iroquois County and very few traditional summer meal locations. She did find that Iroquois County CUSD 9 uses the program to provide breakfast for summer school students in June each year, and the Watseka Park District utilized the program in the summer of 2019 to provide meals to children attending summer camps. She said she has data showing that many of the communities in the county would be eligible to host Open Sun to Meals Go site that could be accessed by any child age 0 to 18. Crawford also attended the 10th Annual Ag Tech Innovation Summit at the U of I Urbana-Champaign. The summit centered on sustainable agricultural initiatives, including numerous panels discussing agriculture's challenges, innovative technologies on the horizon, corporate innovation partners, startups, U of I College of ACES, local ag company, and the IFAB Tech Hub. Modern agriculture is being transformed by a confluence of advancing technologies. As a result, record-breaking investments in the sector are supporting new ventures. The U of I is uniquely positioned where agriculture, engineering, and technology intersect and is on its way to becoming a hub of agriculture entrepreneurship activity. In the future, IEDA wants to help understand these initiatives by working with Iroquois County businesses, schools, and all the regional universities. Short article regarding tomatoes from the Farm Bureau. Tomatoes are growing in popularity as a crop in Illinois. It's becoming quite a tomato state, said U of I Professor Mohamed Babadoust. While Illinois is known as being the number one state for soybean, pumpkin, and horseradish production, few people know that tomatoes are such a big crop in Illinois. Tomato production in Illinois is greater than apples or peaches. With that in mind, the plant pathologist recently discussed common tomato diseases at the State Line Fruit and Vegetable Growers Conference at Northern Illinois University in Rockford. Some tomato diseases were more prevalent last year than in the past. It was a little surprising. For 10 years, we've not had much because it was easy to control. Two other fungal diseases, early blight and anthracnose, are also significant diseases in Illinois tomato fields. All three can be sprayed with Quadris, Quadris, alternated with chlorothalonil, also known as Bravo Weather Stick, to effectively control these diseases. Anthracnose is more commonly seen on ripened tomatoes if harvest is not timely. As for tomatoes grown in high tunnels, leaf mold can be a problem. It is caused when there is water on the plants or high relative humidity, but can be controlled when growers open the side of the high tunnels to lower humidity so it is no longer a serious problem. Verticillium wilt was a serious problem for growers with indoor production in southern Illinois last year. It was notable late in the season. Because the pathogen starts in the soil, growing plants in big pots may help. Grafting susceptible scion onto resistant roots or steam treating the ground and crop rotation are options to control the disease. He saw only one case of root knot nematode in a high tunnel last year. For 3 years, Dr. Babadoust has studied bacterial spot in tomatoes, monitoring fields in south, central, and northern Illinois. His team studied 12 cultivars and did not find any that were resistant to the disease. To manage both bacterial speck and bacterial spot, commonly found in tomatoes in Illinois, growers should choose only pathogen-free seed or certified disease-free transplants, follow a crop rotation with non-host plants, and use effective weed control. An article about the company Thrivent. Thrivent has once again received the World's Most Ethical Companies recognition by Ethisphere, a global company in defining and advancing the standards of ethical business practices. According to information from the company, Thrivent, a Fortune 500 financial services company that puts generosity at the heart of saving and investing, has been recognized since 2012 and is one of only 6 honorees in the financial services industry this year. Terry Rasmussen, president and CEO of the company, said being recognized as one of the world's most ethical companies is a testament to Thrivent's integrity, transparency, and best-in-class ethics practices. Our strong ethical culture is the foundation of the trust our workforce, financial advisors, and clients place in us, enabling us to make a positive impact in our communities. Congratulations to Thrivent for achieving recognition as one of the world's most ethical companies. Behind this honor is a true dedication and a commitment to advancing business integrity. This approach is good for business, employees, and other stakeholders value companies that prioritize the kinds of practices we measure with our process. That was said by Ethisphere's Chief Strategy Officer and Executive Chair, Erica Salmon Byrne. Overall, 136 honorees were recognized as one of the world's most ethical companies, spanning 19 countries and 44 industries. Another Farm Bureau article, this time about venison. Hunters Feeding Illinois is taking a shot at tackling food insecurity throughout the state by connecting hunters, meat processors, and food pantries. During the 24-25 deer hunting season, the program provided over 24,000 pounds of venison to 54 local food pantries. Hunters donated 584 deer to 20 local meat processors, increasing access to lean protein across central and southern Illinois. Caitlin Streitmatter, a senior manager of Illinois Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Education at U of I Extension, said, "All of the venison that is donated stays local, which we're really proud of, and the funding that is raised also stays local." It's hunting that's happening locally, supporting our local families and local meat processors. The process starts when a hunter donates meat to a local food processor. Stripe Matter noted that the program helps address the deer nuisance issue, especially in areas where hunting is popular and venison is relevant to the community. Hunters who have more meat than they need can donate it to families in their communities. This is a way that hunters can use their passion of hunting and then also give back to their community by donating the excess deer that they are unable to use at home. Following the donation, Feeding Illinois financially supports the food processors who turn harvested deer into ground meat. Probes explained that in past years, U of I Extension would reimburse meat processors, but partnering with Feeding Illinois helps the reimbursement process run smoother. With this partnership with Feeding Illinois, they can actually reimburse our meat processors on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, or however many invoices the meat processors sent to Feeding Illinois. It's much more streamlined and a faster process. Stripe Matter added that the deer donation program included in Illinois Senate Bill 2160 would further streamline the reimbursement process. If passed, the legislation would establish the Hunter Food Bank Fund to support grants for food banks to pay processors for donated deer. Hunters Feeding Illinois also helps food processors find food pantries for partnerships. U of I Extension provides education on venison to the food pantries, including recipes, tastings, food safety instructions, and handouts to help clients prepare the meat at home. The goal is to expand the reach of the Hunters Feeding Illinois program. It has already grown from 11 to 44 counties in 3 years, but Probst and Stratmeyer hope to see it become a statewide program. Another Illinois Farm Bureau article about grants. In an effort to elevate rural communities, Illinois Farm Bureau partnered with county farm bureaus to award 23 rural development grants totaling $105,000 to support local projects across the state. Of the grants awarded, 8 are fulfilling rural emergency services needs and 15 are projects focused on economic or community development, according to information from the Bureau. Ryan Tate, IFB Associate Director of Local Government, said Illinois Farm Bureau is proud to collaborate with county farm bureaus to support these outstanding projects that will ultimately elevate the quality of life for those living in these communities. We're excited to see the long-term impact of these grants in the years ahead. The Rural Development Grant Program provides resources, tools, and support to help local communities and counties overcome challenges inherent in rural development projects, such as lack of funding and volunteers, complicated grant applications, and others. In selecting grants, IFB searches for projects that will meet a need in a community, county, or rural area and get residents excited about what is happening in their community. Grant recipients this year are Xenia Fire Protection District, Greenup Fire Protection District, Edwards CFB, Nauvoo Police Department, Williamsfield Fire Protection District, Alhambra Community Fire Protection District, Mount Hope Funks Grove Fire Protection District, Montgomery County Emergency Management Agency, Bureau County 4-H Clubs, Douglas County Economic Development Corporation, Franklin CFB, Sycamore Acres, Warsaw Mercantile, Joe Davies Local Funds, the City of Mendota, North Central Regional Betterment Coalition, Boys and Girls Club of Livingston County, Massac County Youth Fair, West Prairie Water Co-op, Greenview Civic Improvement Association, Mercer County Better Together, Baby Sarah's Playground Planning Committee. Sorry, that was a long list. I didn't realize it was going to be that long. We'll conclude this reading for today, and we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy your week.